A common question law firms may get or lawyers may get is like, well, why do I need to hire you? Like, can I just handle this case myself? And the answer is yes. Like, you know, people that are injured or going through a situation, they can represent themselves. Is it a good idea? Probably not. And so if you want to maximize your chances of success, you're far better off bringing on a competent partner that has done this thing, has fixed this problem over and over and over again, and has the case studies to prove it.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Answering Legal's Everything Except the Law podcast. I am your host, Nick Werker. If this is your first time tuning in, this is the podcast where we share expert advice on all the parts of running a law firm that attorneys weren't exactly trained for back in law school. Now, my guest for this episode is someone I know quite well. His company, Pareto Legal, has been helping guide the paid advertising strategies of Answering Legal for several years. Today, we're excited to have him share some of his expertise with our podcast listeners. Pareto Legal CEO, Bo Royal, joins me now. Welcome, Bo. That is my fourth intro read for anybody who's listening to this and is scared of podcasting. That is my fourth intro read, and I'm not that.
There are a lot of tongue twisters in there in your defense, but Nick, it's awesome to be on the podcast. I've been looking forward to this for quite a while. I'm looking forward to talking shop with you.
Same. It's always fun. We're probably going to run way over, and we're probably going to talk well after the recording is done, but I'll hop into it. So as I mentioned, I know you really well, but many in our audience might not. Can you introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about your marketing background and a little bit about Pareto.
Sure. I've been in the marketing space now for coming up on 15 years. Worked at several different agencies in my early and mid-20s. And then, by the time I think I was like 28, I was leading a team of 15 digital marketers at eBay's Marketing Solutions division. And, you know, by outward measures, I was very successful. I was doing really well for myself, but I was really disillusioned with the big agency experience. I felt like I really wasn't making a big impact on the clients that I was working with. So that, and I was burned out. I was working like 60, 70, 80 hour weeks pretty consistently and was just like, this isn't for me. So I did a bit of a 180 back in 2018, and I ended up becoming CMO of a large injury law firm in Philadelphia. And when I joined there, I made it clear to the owner and managing partner that I wanted to build my own separate like marketing consultancy and agency. And before I knew it, I had a bunch of clients. I needed to bring on a business partner to help manage all those clients. And that was already 6 years ago, five, 6 years ago. And in the last, I'd say 12 to 18 months, we've really niched down on law firms specifically, given my boots on the ground experience at a law firm as a CMO. I think we have a unique perspective on marketing in general, how it should operate, so on and so forth. So that's kind of how I ended up doing what I'm doing today.
It's a cool story. And I just want to share with the audience that a lot of the stuff that we talk about in this podcast is like experiential for me. And I'm one of those people that, and I had a similar trajectory to you. I haven't gone and done like the side business thing. I don't really plan to. I'm not entrepreneurial like you. I'm more of like I like to be creative and have all of the responsibility and none of the liability. But, so
that's why it's called limited liability company, though. You open an LLC, right? It's
dude, I know you sound like my wife. But one of the things that I know business owners struggle with is like relinquishing some of that control to like a third party, right? Like you're technically a third party when you handle the marketing or paid advertising strategies for any of these law firms that you work with. And I remember, we're talking like 6, 7 years ago, I would get emails forwarded to me from the owner from this guy, Bo, that he talks to and he thinks is so smart and great. And that, and I'd be like, ah, no, like we got it all figured out. We don't need paid advertising help. And every, I don't know, like 6-7 months, I'd get an email, you know, that we should really give this guy a shot. We should really do it. I'm like, nah, we're doing great on our own. And I run the marketing division of this company sort of, I wouldn't say independently, like I get a lot of help, but ultimately like I make decisions. And I don't even remember what the turning point was where we were just like, whatever, let's give this a shot. And so I can say from experience that if you try to do everything on your own, you will end up doing yourself a disservice. So that's not to say that, like, I think in a vacuum, I could be a really good paid advertising strategist. If that was my only job and I sat here for 8 hours a day or 10 hours a day at my computer, I could do a really good job for my company. But when we decided to start working with you guys, not only did it free up a bunch of my time, but you guys, everyone at Pareto has done a much better job than I did in our paid advertising. And one of the things that I've been able to focus on is on the creative end. So I and my team come up with a lot of the creative, the advertising that we actually use, and you guys help implement it. So for anybody listening to this that thinks like, oh, this is really great, I can just learn a bunch about this, you absolutely can. But until you find the correct partner in someone like Pareto, you're pigeonholing yourself, sorry to say. But I do, that's my personal testimonial on how much I think you guys are valuable, and recognizing that I used to be much more naive than I am, but I guess that's what happens when you get old.
I appreciate that. We'll make sure I get a copy of this video and we can cut it into a little video testimonial. I can run it on Facebook or something.
Before we do a deep dive into the actual topic of paid advertising, can you catch up some of our less experienced marketers on some of the basics? Like what makes paid advertising unique? What are some of the benefits? How does it fit into like an overall law firm marketing strategy?
Yeah, I mean, some of the fundamental differences with digital marketing, digital advertising versus more traditional advertising channels is, number one, you can get really specific with the targeting, right? So you can drill down and target people based on the keywords they're searching for, the demographics that they fall into, whether it's age, gender, household income, parental status, things of that nature, their interests, their behaviors. It's just insane the amount of data points that Google, Meta, Microsoft have on their user bases. So it's a much more precise marketing tactic versus something like a billboard or a radio campaign, right? And for that reason, it's a lot more effective. Other differences, other basics are when it comes to digital advertising, you really should expect more immediate results. It's not like something like SEO or direct mail. If you're running a pay-per-click campaign, you should expect clicks immediately, and not only clicks, highly relevant clicks based on the practice areas that you are ultimately targeting and going after, right? So far, highly specific targeting, immediate results. The third thing I would say is digital marketing and advertising is very, very flexible. It's, again, I'm kind of comparing this to TV, radio, and billboard. You're not signing away your budget, you know, for a 6 to 12 month time frame. You can be very dynamic in the way you manage the budget. You can pause campaigns, you can turn on campaigns, you can day part campaigns by hour of day or day of week. So you have a lot more flexibility with your budget, and you can reallocate it in real time based on the things that are working and the things that aren't working. And then I would say the fourth, big reason the fourth fundamental difference with digital marketing versus more traditional marketing is the tracking is just amazing. You can see what specific facets of your marketing and advertising portfolio are actually leading to leads and cases and results that your firm ultimately cares about. So to recap that, highly specific audience targeting, you get immediate results, you can be very flexible with the targeting and the budgeting and things of that nature, and it's highly, highly trackable. So for that reason, we recommend that pretty much every law firm, every business be running some type of digital advertising campaign.
Based on that, what are some of the key things that law firms should keep in mind when coming up with a game plan for their paid advertising?
I would say number one is setting realistic goals. You need to, figure out everything from your budget to your monthly case goals to what your target client acquisition cost needs to be. This is typically something that we're helping new law firm clients with or firms that haven't spent on digital advertising before. You have to be really, really intentional about what you're trying to achieve with your digital advertising investment, first and foremost. Secondly, I would say you need to prioritize your budget on the right tactics. I would not recommend to a small personal injury firm that they spend $50,000 a month on YouTube or Facebook ads. Like, it's just, that's a poor prioritization of budget. Really what they need to focus on is more direct response tactics to start. So like Google pay-per-click or retargeting before investing in something like video ads or a billboard or a TV campaign. So there's like a pecking order to where they should be putting their budget. And that pecking order basically aligns with what the marketing funnel is. I talk about marketing tactics as either being bottom of funnel, middle of funnel, or top of funnel. And for a law firm just starting out, they really should be focusing their budget and their efforts on those bottom of funnel tactics. And then the third thing I would say, as you're developing your digital advertising game plan is, do you have an effective intake operation in place? Because if you don't, you are not ready to spend any money on advertising, full stop. Like, if you don't have data on your conversion rates, you don't have a team that you can trust will be able to handle an influx in leads, you are not ready to spend money on advertising. And I've seen so much scar tissue in the industry from firms that have been spending tens of thousands of dollars a month on ads, and they're wondering why they're not getting cases. And you peel back the onion a couple layers, and it's like your intake team is not doing their job, or you're missing calls, or, people are calling into the firm and you're not deploying empathy on that call and really establishing a relationship with them. So I'd say intake is a common thing that is missed, and it's something that really needs to be thought through and assessed before you think about investing in digital advertising.
I like the term scar tissue. I see this all the time. I actually talk to a lot of people who, so it's funny that after getting burned by, say, like an SEO company or a digital advertising company, that a lot of the lawyers that we talk to come to us for advice because they don't want to talk to marketers anymore. They're like, I'm done with marketers. Let me talk to somebody else. And so we end up consulting on a lot of these businesses. And I was speaking with this woman and I felt really, really bad. So I was on the phone with her. I was looking, we spoke about this the last time we talked. So I did like a quick audit of her website and made some suggestions that I think would be really helpful to her, because her problem was that basically there was this crazy influx of leads, and there's the firm had no tracking set up, but every time somebody would call in, she would specifically ask them, how did you find me? How did you hear about me? And they would always just say the internet. But without tracking, the internet just means like anything, honestly. Right. And so I asked her, I was like, how much were you paying? Who was it? Who was this? So on and so forth. This way I know like kind of where to steer my customers when they do call in. But it was thousands of dollars a month, and it was two different companies in a row. And so I understand what you mean when you say scar tissue is just like, how many times, I also put it this way is, and I mean this about myself too, is that SEO and like paid advertising for the most part are, I can just start, I can put up a website and say that I am a digital marketer mm-hmm. or I do SEO. There's no certification really that comes with this thing. And if I'm a good talker, I can get clients. So I like, and I appreciate people like you in our profession that do more of a service by educating people and letting them know this is what, this is where you should be focused. This is where I'm going to start with you, and letting them know like, oh, don't just give me $7,000 a month and like, oh, give me 6 months and we'll figure it out. No, here's how a sales funnel should work. Here's how your intake should be set up. And you get invested in the actual, what do you call that? Like the nurturing of that customer when they come in. I just appreciate that the most about a company like you guys. And also you guys have done this for me, which is like, at the end of the day, my bread and butter is conversion rate optimization. I am obsessed with my website to the point where like really, really what I am at the end of the day is a content marketer. I'm obsessed with the best content, whether that means YouTube videos, whether that means written content, like I can't do anything. It paralyzes me. I can't do anything amateurish. I don't like it. I need it to be premium in this and that. And what you guys have helped me focus on is going away from that conversion rate and figuring out where my processes might be lacking so that I'm taking the best care of the potential new client as I possibly can. Whether that means how I distribute each of the web forms that come in to my salesman, or how I'm tracking these certain things, or which campaigns I should be invested in. Or so that's what I love about companies like you is you're not just a paid advertising agency. You guys get into the business of like helping people understand how to make these campaigns work even better for you, even like offline, completely offline.
I appreciate that. We're trying to figure out how we add that piece in, how we kind of say that we help other facets of the business. I think that's kind of like lumped into to business strategy when we mentioned that on our website and in our SOWs. But yeah, I was speaking with a firm last week that wants to work with us, and basically told them, you guys aren't ready. And here's why you're not ready. Here are like the seven things that need to happen between now and the time that we possibly work together, right? And it was some of those fundamentals. It was like, you don't have any tracking on the website. You don't have a CallRail account. You don't have this. You don't have an answering service. And I sent them to you guys to speak with them. You don't have live chat. Like all, like this laundry list of things that needed to get put into place in order to make paid advertising work. So yeah, the reality is there's a lot of firms out there that aren't ready to advertise yet, and they need to build this infrastructure. I think that's the word. It's like build this infrastructure so that they can eventually handle incremental leads and track that ROI. That is so incredibly important, because if you don't have that tracking in place, you're going to be like a lot of law firms out there that spend 5, 10, 20K on digital advertising for like a month or two. And they go, oh, that didn't work. This isn't working. I'm shutting this off. Like if you don't have these foundational pieces in place, it's not going to work for you. And your competitors are going to eat your lunch. That's what's going to happen, because they have that infrastructure in place.
I want to come back to this because I know that you and your team are experts at analytics and tracking, but I don't want to put the cart before the horse here. So I want to ask how or why law firms, right, should be interested in paid advertising as opposed to like other industries. Why does paid advertising work so much better for the legal community than it does for like, I see this all the time. Other industries are, and I'm like, why are you advertising that? That's crazy. But I do believe in paid advertising for law firms. What's your sort of take on this?
I think it works so well for law firms specifically because people don't understand, you know, different practice areas. They don't understand the industry. What they do understand is, you know, once they are in a dire situation, whether they're injured or they've just been, you know, they're getting a divorce or there's a custody battle or something of that nature, all they know is they need a lawyer and they need a competent one, right? And so where's the best place to turn to figure that out? It's Google. They're just going to go to Google and type in lawyer near me, or maybe they'll specify, you know, the type of lawyer they think they need, right? So like a common example is like for in workers' compensation law, a lot of people will think they need a personal injury attorney because they got hurt, but it's like, no, you need an attorney that specializes in work injuries, right? So I think it works so well, long story short, because Google is commonly the initial touch point where people kind of realize that, okay, I need a lawyer. I'm going to do some initial research. And that's where you can really make a good initial impression. Maybe get them on your website, maybe have them read some of your client testimonials, and then do your best to turn them into a client from there.
Speaking of that, for someone who is interested and they identify as ready to advertise for their law firm, what are some of the more, what are some of the more creative things that you've seen law firms do with their paid advertising? And like, what's your favorite sort of advertising campaign that you think either has the best ROI or like performs the best?
I've seen so many different tactics. I've seen like raffles that firms will promote on social media in exchange for an email address, right? So they might have some type of like giveaway. Oh, hey, you know, enter to win, you know, tickets to this sports game or something like that. I don't know what that lead quality is like. I imagine it's pretty abysmal. But if the firm's goal is to build up a email list, build up a, you know, a following for their newsletter or whatever they're trying to, you know, tactic they're using to nurture an audience, that could be a good tactic. I've seen law firms build out separate domains and like website experiences to focus on a given practice area. So this could be, you know, this could mean, let's say you're a social security disability law firm that wants to start dabbling in mass torts, right? Something I've seen firms do is they'll build like a separate brand experience. It's like a separate domain and maybe like a slight tweak to their logo, and everything on that separate website is like all about mass torts, right? That's a pretty common one. I think there's pros and cons to it. I think today people are really looking to turn to a trusted brand versus just some like standalone landing page that might seem like they focus on a single practice area. That's just my take on it. And then other tactics I'm seeing, a lot of competitor bidding. And what that is like a law firm bidding on one of their competitors' brand names. I know, you know, there's a lot of firms out there still doing this. There are pros and cons to it. I don't think every firm should be doing it based on, you know, their budget and their target market. But those are pretty common, unique things that I'm seeing law firms do.
We will be right back after this short ad.
I am Christopher Curley, solo practice in Baltimore, Ohio. Answering Legal has been a blessing when it comes to answering my phones and getting that information to me, no matter where I am, so that I can respond to clients' inquiries looking for legal services. I'm able to respond quickly. In this business, whoever answers first usually gets the business. And so it's really improved my ability to be able to do that. For me to hire a receptionist or a paralegal would be very expensive. I'm able to have coverage on my phones 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Answering Legal provided the answer for my business. They are the number one tool for me when it comes to running my practice. They make my practice possible as a solo practitioner.
So I was just at ABA Tech Show in Chicago. And I keep thinking about this because I really hope that they do end up becoming a client of mine. But I met this law firm. They were very clearly like a whole family, which I thought was awesome. They're from Texas. And I think the husband was the lawyer, but his wife was the boss. And they came over to our booth and they were basically like, pitch us. Why do we need this? They had their daughter with them. I loved it so much. So they're grilling us and they're talking about, why would I need this? We're trying to grow so fast. You know, why would I need an answering service to help us with the intake? Like, we already have intake specialists, and these questions are so in depth. They did a lot of disability law in Texas. We had a long conversation with them about how we could support their current infrastructure. But one of the things that I think is so interesting is firms generally have a sense of an idea of that they want to grow and that they're ready to grow, that their current infrastructure is capable of taking that next step in revenue, hiring, advertising. But for me, one of the things that I always like to have in place is a partner. So when you come in, what's your opinion on how a growing law firm can take on the next step of like paid advertising or intake or something else without professional guidance? Like, how would they go about doing that? I know it's not wise to say that they would, but like, what's your take on this?
So basically it's like, how does a firm navigate this without professional guidance?
Or maybe the better question is, how does a firm go about getting professional guidance for these issues?
I think I would apply a common question law firms may get or lawyers may get is like, well, why do I need to hire you? Like, can I just handle this case myself? And the answer is yes. Like, you know, people that are injured or going through a situation, they can represent themselves. Is it a good idea? Probably not. And so if you want to maximize your chances of success, you're far better off bringing on a competent partner that has done this thing, has fixed this problem over and over and over again, and has the case studies to prove it, has the client references to share so that you can actually speak with someone that, you know, focuses on the same practice areas as you do, and hear from them and say, yeah, these guys know what they're talking about. These guys took me from A to B, and they did it within budget. They did it within this time frame, right? So, I think that's when I get that objection on sales calls, that's what I will say. I'll say like, well, would you advise, you know, someone that's injured, you know, oh yeah, you can do this on your own. Like, absolutely not. I think the alternative though to hiring someone like me, and maybe other agency owners out there won't like that I'm saying this, but it would be to bring it in house, you know, hire someone that has worked at a competing law firm that has done marketing, or hire someone in the agency space, marketing agency space, that has law firm chops, and make them your marketing director and say, you're in charge of exactly just like you, Nick, and give them pretty lofty goals and say, I want to go from A to B. You're in charge of this, make it happen. And that person will probably end up ultimately bringing on agency partners to help with more technical things and more specialized things. But, I would say once a firm is, you know, in the $5+ million range in terms of annual revenue, they're ready to hire that in-house marketing person. They need to, because the managing partners can't juggle it. They have to focus more on the operations, because that's really the big hurdle that firms need to get over once you're at that size. It's not the marketing, interestingly, becomes easier. It becomes more predictable because you've established yourself in your market in some fashion. There's some predictability in terms of the leads that are coming in, the cases that are coming in. You don't need to be like, you know, full, and I'm talking to managing partners, right? You don't need to be solely focused on the marketing now. You need to be thinking about the staff, the operations, the finance, all that good stuff.
I want to talk about analytics because I think a lot of this stuff that we're talking about right now means, I shouldn't say nothing, because if you're making money and you don't care where it's coming from and you just want to spend blindly and throw stuff at the wall, it might work for you. You might be the one law firm ever who doesn't need to track anything and make sure that your spend is working appropriately. But like, let's talk about table stakes, analytics, and tracking for law firms. What's the bare minimum that they should have in place? And then what's your like pipe dream analytics look like for a law firm?
I'll break this down into kind of like three parts. I think on the front end, you need to have really solid marketing tracking in place. And so common tools that you're going to use to know where your website traffic is coming from, where leads are coming from, are things like Google Analytics 4. It's a free tool. Set it up, install the code on your website. It's going to start giving you data on where the traffic is coming from, what pages they're interacting with, so on and so forth. CallRail is another one I recommend. There are other call tracking tools, but we like CallRail. That's going to track all your call volume. It's going to track other measures like what campaigns those calls are coming from, what pages of the website people are calling from, if there's a number on there. It can really drill down as granular as the keyword that people typed in that led to a phone call. So that's a really important one. Yeah, I honestly think those two are like enough to start, because with Google Analytics 4, you'll be able to track website form submissions and live chat leads using that tool. And then CallRail will enable you to track the phone calls. Like, I'd say the three primary front-end marketing metrics that you need to be tracking are phone calls, live chats, and form submissions. Those are like the biggest three to start. So that's number one. That's like the front-end marketing tracking. Then I would move on to intake. Intake needs to be tracked. So you need to have some type of VOIP solution that can listen to the calls, so you can hold your intake team accountable and coach them on, you know, you weren't being very empathetic on this call, or you didn't follow the call flow properly, or you didn't handle the objections well, things like that. So there needs to be some measure in place there so that you can hold your intake team accountable and really critique them more on the qualitative aspects on how they're handling the intake. And you also need a lead management system. So something like Lawmatics or Clio, where you can push all of that lead information into a platform that enables you to keep track of everything, enables you to make sure that you're following up with the leads as they come in, things of that nature. So that's kind of number two, is like having the right intake tracking and infrastructure in place. And then number three is the case management system. Right. And in some cases, that's like the intake system and the case management system are the same thing, or they integrate very well together. And that is really just monitoring the progress of the cases that, you know, are coming in, what stage they're in, so on and so forth. I'd say the biggest, I'm going to go on more of a tangent here. The biggest missed opportunity I see with law firms as it pertains to their tracking is they are not attributing where cases are coming from by marketing source. So for example, I think you mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, you had a prospect, now client, that you were speaking with, and they were just saying, yeah, you know, 80% of my cases come from internet. That's a huge junk drawer of cases that you're just throwing into that box. Right. And so, wouldn't it be so valuable as a law firm if you can drill down and see, of the, you know, $1 million I spent last year, 400,000 of it drove 90% of my case volume? That'd be a game changer. You'd completely rethink how you're allocating budget. You'd completely, you know, you'd end up just taking that extra $600K that didn't do much and redeploy it somewhere else, right? So the way that firms can do that is it's a little more technical, but they can push what's called a Google Click ID into their intake or case management system. And so that case, that Google Click ID will follow the client through the entire life cycle of their case. And so when the settlement checks come in and, you know, you're getting a fat check from this case you just settled, you can go back in the case file and see, oh, here's the Google Click ID. This was the originating campaign or tactic or thing that I used to generate this case. And then you can attribute that revenue that you just got back to that marketing source. And that is an oversimplification. It's a lot harder than it sounds. And it's the other thing I'll say is it's a lot more time consuming than it sounds. Like, you need to get that infrastructure in place, but it's going to take you in some cases 2, 3, 4 years in order for you to have that full closed loop reporting. Because some PI cases, some cases can take, you know, 4 or 5 years. I know I went on a hell of a rant there, but that's our ideal state for a law firm, is to have that type of tracking infrastructure in place so that they can spend their money very confidently and they can go back a year, 2 years, 5 years later and say, I spent X and I got Y. That is the ideal scenario.
I talk a lot with your partner, Jake Berufkin, and we call that the ivory tower.
Yeah.
Anybody watching this who thinks that even I have all of my crap together, so to speak, I am still like one or two steps away from having that actually built. But the thing is it's not automated, but I can actually see it. Like, if I go into my payment collection software, I can see who pays what, and I can attribute it back to the actual thing. It's just not actually, it doesn't actually talk to each other yet.
That puts you ahead of a lot of your competitors.
And it helps. Trust me. It helps. I'll tell a story about why I love Pareto again. You can clip this all you want. So when I started out with you guys, you have that. It's probably a templated report at this point, but you have it built and you concepted the whole thing. So there's basically a report that will pull in from all of my advertising platforms, the individual ads, which campaigns, and then like it breaks it down. So there's you can look at campaign, you can look at individual ads, you can look at publisher, you can look at anything, and it sorts it by date. You could sort by whatever you want. But basically, I was having a problem where the performance of my all my stuff tanked, and I am not a good person at blaming other people. One of the things that I always do is I whenever something happens, I try to internalize it. I look at where I could be at fault. And because I had this report, my team and I went through, we looked at all of this data that is automatically pulled in by this reporting solution that you guys have created that is obviously integrated now, like closed loop with a bunch of our like CRM tools and so on and so forth. And we determined that it was like what you said before. And that's the Pareto principle, right? If you took economics in college, is we had drifted away ideologically because of a few changes that we made. We didn't pay attention, but we had drifted away from one of our highest performing creative campaigns. We stopped spending money on, I think it was just this particular video. And for whatever reason, we just kept funneling money away from it. And it's like 90% of the results come from 10% of the work, but we moved it away from the 10% because we were able to see that with our eyeballs, right? And make that connection between here's where the fall off is, right? Like, we want to reach as many people as possible and we spend a lot of money to do it. So we want those two things to work together. We changed it, and within, I don't know, 3 weeks, 21 days, back to normal, better than ever. Obviously, everybody at Pareto we consulted with you guys too. We were like, do you think we're crazy? Is this, no, that's probably it. Let's go back. We all made a mistake. That's fine. We're humans. And for me, that's why it's so important to have a really great, like, we do business together. I've never met you in person, but we have this great relationship where if you texted me, I'd respond in 30 seconds. You know, Jake calls me sometimes out of the blue and I just answer. I ask you guys questions. We do this whole thing back and forth. For me, that's why it's so important to have a relationship with the people that I work with. So I want to ask you, what's your advice on, or what's your advice for a law firm on building a lasting relationship with a marketing agency or a partner that I would call you guys like a partner?
I'd say first and foremost, this partner is doing work on your behalf. And let me be really precise in what I mean by that. If you're thinking about bringing on a marketing partner, you need to make sure that all of your digital assets remain your digital assets. So things like the website stays yours. Things like your data stays yours. Things like your advertising channels stay yours. And it's unfortunate that I have to say this, but there are still law firm marketing agencies out there where if you read the fine print of their contracts, there are clauses in there that say, you know, upon termination, we take all this stuff with us. And it's absolute BS. You need to make sure that those things remain yours. It's like the analogy is like if you paid a contractor to come do some work on your house, and the contractor, once they're done the job, is like, thanks, see you later. The house is mine now. That's literally what agencies are doing in the law firm marketing space. So read the fine print and make sure that your contracts are structured in a way where you get to maintain full ownership of all your digital assets. Again, website, advertising channels, and your data. I think another thing would be to ask your marketing partner if they're working with any of your direct competitors. I think in some instances, if an agency is not properly set up, that could be a huge conflict of interest. I know with our agency, we do have two competitor clients, but they are working, the teams that are touching the accounts are completely separate. So it's really insulated from itself. But I think that's a really good question to ask, you know, when you're vetting potential agency partners. Other things would be, can you see examples of their reporting and make sure that they are reporting on cases, not leads, not traffic, cases. Because anyone out there can sell you on, oh yeah, I'm going to get you this SEO, all this traffic, and you peel back one layer and it's like you're driving more traffic to a practice area page that I simply do not care about, right? So make sure the reporting is really, really strong and it's reporting on the metrics that ultimately matter to your firm. And pretty much every law firm is going to care about cases. That's what it comes down to. Other things would be make sure, again, this is like another unfortunate thing that some agencies do out there. Make sure that when you get your invoices, that if your agency is fronting your ad spend for you, make sure that you get an itemized breakdown of what you spent on advertising that month and what the agency's fees are. We don't do our pricing or our invoices this way. We have our law firm clients spend on the advertising channels through their own, you know, credit cards or through their own, you know, banking integrations. Like we don't do it this way, but there are agencies out there that will, they'll send you just one big fat invoice where it's like here, you know, it's the combined ad spend and the agency fees. Just make sure you're getting an itemized breakdown because again, there are firms out there, there are agencies out there that will lump them all together and you don't know certain months whether they're charging you $10,000 for services, $15,000 for services. So get the breakdown. Three other things. Does the agency specialize in law firms? That's incredibly important. The legal space is super, super competitive. And you can't just have a jack of all trades, master of none marketer trying to figure out how to make your personal injury case profitable with PPC if they've never done it before. You need someone that's done it again and again and again. And the way you validate that is Do they have case studies that showcase that agency's experience and their ability to generate more of the types of cases that you want? And another thing would be, I mentioned this before, asking for client references. If you're looking at two different agencies, you're stuck between agency A and agency B, and agency A doesn't give you client references, but agency B does, I think that says a lot about their ability to develop lasting relationships and actually deliver on the results that they're promising to you. So I know I said a lot there, but there's a lot of things that law firms need to be mindful of when they're working with potential partners. But those are some of the biggest questions.
I felt bad laughing when you made your first point about like an agency stealing your, like, basically intellectual property.
Yep.
But I actually have heard that more than you would think is, oh yeah, I fired my SEO agency and they took my website. And I was like, they did what? They're like, yeah, I need a new website. You know anybody that builds websites? I won't even get into that. That's a nightmare.
Yeah, there's one big culprit in this space, and I'm not going to say their name because I don't want to get sued, but just read the fine print.
Yeah, or just ask. I'm pretty sure are legally obligated to tell you, and if they're not, you're a lawyer and you can sue them. I want to ask you specifically about your company because I have my own, obviously, experiences with you guys, but can you tell us a little bit more about Perito and some of the things that make your company unique? Like, what's your like mission statement? Why do you get out of bed in the morning?
We want to help firms triple, 5x, 10x their revenues. Like, full stop. Like, that's our mission when we're having a partnership with a law firm, is how do we get this firm going from $3 million a year in annual revenue to $10 or $15 million a year in annual revenue? And yes, like, pay-per-click digital advertising is like one of the primary mechanisms we use to drive that outcome. But as we talked about before, we're consulting on their overall business strategy. We're giving a lot of feedback and recommendations on intake tracking systems. We're helping them build that marketing tracking infrastructure so that they can assign an ROI to digital advertising or digital marketing tactic. So that's really what drives us. We like to think of ourselves as catalysts, right? Like, and I've had this conversation with prospective clients and actual clients where it's like, if you hire us and we don't drive more cases for you, we need to be fired. That's it. Like, don't keep paying us if we're not driving incrementality for your business. In terms of other things that kind of like make us unique, I mentioned this at the beginning. My co-founder and I, we both worked in-house at a large injury law firm in Philadelphia. I was the CMO there. He was the COO. We brought that firm to mid seven figures to mid eight figures in under 3 years. So, and a lot of that was, you know, through brute force and just a ton of mistakes. Thankfully, you know, the managing partner did trust and still trusts us. We're still involved with that firm in advisory board member capacity now. But there was just so many learnings from that 3 year time frame. A lot of the learnings actually were on the intake side of things. I was already kind of deadly with marketing. Intake was the learning curve that I needed to kind of get through. Other differentiators with us, our team is actually compensated on a revenue share basis. I think this is unique in the industry. It aligns their incentives with our clients' incentives, right? Mm-hmm. So if the client's making more money, we're making more money, and specifically the team managing the account is making more money. So it gets everyone rowing in the same direction. And then, you know, I would say the third thing is there's a lot of law firm marketing agencies out there. None truly specialize in the three things that we do: digital advertising, conversion rate optimization, and analytics. I have not seen a world-class law firm marketing agency that does those three things exceptionally well. So I'd say that those are our differentiators.
Me either. And it makes me really happy that to know that everybody's on a rev share, because I love the people in your organization that I work with. Shout out Mia, shout out Jared, shout out Nick, shout out Jake. Hopefully they watch this. All right, let's send everybody to you. Where can lawyers go to learn more about Pareto?
You can visit our website, legal.paretoppc.com. We got a bunch of case studies on there, more information about our services. And if you want to have a conversation with me, my Calendly is integrated in the website. You can just book a time whenever you want.
Bo, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. Thank you to all of our listeners. We hope you enjoyed this conversation, and we will be back with another episode of Everything Except the Law soon. Be sure to check out previous episodes of the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and the Answering Legal YouTube channel. Links to everything covered in today's conversation, including and not limited to everything that we just talked about right 30 seconds before this, will be found in the description of everywhere that you're watching this or listening to this. See you next time, everyone.